Namaskar, this is Dattaveda Pragyananda, and welcome to DharmaCast. Today I'm going to read something from the works of Sri Sri Anandamurti, and then I'm going to discuss it. The essay that will be read is called Yoga, Its Fundamental Factors. Last night I spoke about what yoga is in the realms of physicality, intellectuality, and spirituality. Now this all-pervading spirit of yoga is controlled by three fundamental factors. The yogic approach is all-pervading. Yoga covers everything, anything, and everything. But this yoga, this movement of yoga, this progress of yoga, is based on three fundamental factors. What are those fundamental factors? They are pranipata, pariprashna, and seva. The great yogi Krishna said about 3,500 years ago, pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya, by surrender, spiritual questioning, and servicefulness. First, let us see what the import of seva is. The root meaning or the rudimental meaning of the term seva is service. But service in the field of yoga is not the same as in the commercial sphere. In the commercial sphere, seva means mutual exchange. Give some money, take some article. It is something mutual. You are giving something and you are receiving something. The shopkeepers give you some article and receive money in exchange. You give money and receive some article in exchange. So this sort of service is mutual. But in the field of spirituality, seva is not mutual. It is unilateral. You are giving everything to Parama Purusha, the Supreme Consciousness, and in return, you are taking nothing. But you know, when you give everything to Him, even your very existence, then what happens? You become one with Parama Purusha. When you give everything to Him, in exchange, you get Parama Purusha, you get the Lord. Here, you are not the loser, you are the winner of everything. This is the proper import of the term seva. It is unilateral, not mutual. Another fact is pariprashna. Prashna means question. The English term question comes from the root verb quest. Quest means to search for. You're in search of a reply. You're questing. Quest means to search for. And the noun of quest is quest plus the suffix ion, question. It means searching. But here the term is pariprashna, not prashna. Prashna means question. Pariprashna means questions concerned with your spiritual practice. You want to know from the acharya how to practice yoga asanas, how to withdraw the mind from physical objects and goad it onto Parama Purusha. You are to learn so many things for the purpose of practicing the same, and not for the sake of knowing, but for the sake of practice. When something is placed before a scholar or teacher for the purpose of doing something, for the purpose of doing according to the reply, then that particular nature of question is called pariprashna. So, for a spiritual aspirant, the first factor is that he should be engaged in seva, that is, service, unilateral service. And the second thing is that he should not waste his valuable time in idle questioning. That is, questions that bear no fruit. Your questions should be pariprashna. You are placing the questions just to know something in order to do accordingly. What is the third term? The third term is pranipata. Pranipata means complete surrender at the altar of the Almighty. Now this complete surrender, complete self-sacrifice is to be done, but how? What is the secret? All human egos, all egoistic expressions are based on the vanity moving around the self, moving around the I feeling, the first expression of existence. I am is the base, is the fundament of all egos and all vanities. You know, when a man learns much or earns much, his ego, his vanity gets puffed up. The man gets puffed up with vanity. And under such circumstances, he becomes so conscious of his little existence that it becomes very difficult for him to surrender before the Supreme. What to speak of surrender? Even if a logical theory is placed before him, he does not like to accept it. He thinks that if he accepts that theory, if he accepts that veracity, it will be humiliating for him. This sort of psychology misguides him under such circumstances. How to surrender? This can be done internally with the help of dhyana, meditation in which the psyche is directed towards consciousness, and externally by ascribing godhood to all external entities. While helping the poor people, your vanity may increase. You may think, I have done this, I have done that, I am not an ordinary person. This is a psychic disease. Actually, vanity is a psychic disease, a psychic ailment. But if, while helping a man, a poor man, or a diseased person, you ascribe godhood to him or her, that is, if you think, I'm not helping a man, I'm helping God and the human structure, then vanity will not be encouraged. What will be the reaction within the person? This body, this mind, this wealth has been given to me by Paramapurusha, and Paramapurusha has come before me. God has come before me as a suffering person, and I am paying that thing back to that thing to him. That is, the actual owner of this body, the actual owner of this mind is he, and his wealth I am paying back to him. So there will be no vanity. And I said that the internal process is meditation. In meditation, Paramapurusha becomes your object, and you become the subject. You become the seer, and he becomes the seen. But the inner spirit of meditation is that while looking at him internally with your inner eye, you should think, I am not meditating on him, nor am I seeing him mentally. What is actually happening is that he is seeing me. That is, I am the object and he is the subject. He sees whatever I do. He sees whatever I think. So I am his object and he is my subject. This idea helps in freeing oneself from the serpentine noose of ego and vanity. For a devotee, you must remember that these are the fundamental factors for spiritual progress: seva, pariprasna, and pranipata. The guiding spirit of pranipata, and I'm going to read a Sanskrit shloka, but I'll give the translation. O Lord of this universe, you are the owner of all the wealth of this universe, all the gems and jewels of this universe. So what can I offer at your altar? When you are the owner of everything, what can a poor man like me give you? I cannot give you anything, because you are the owner of everything, and I am the owner of nothing. The second thing is the cosmic operative principle, the mechanical force. All the energies are your servants. Whatever you desire, they will bring then and there and manufacture the same for you, for your pleasure. That is, all the energies of the universe are yours. Whatever you desire then and there, that thing will be prepared. So what can I give you? What can I present? What can I offer just to satisfy you? I cannot give anything. I own nothing. Then in this second phase, the devotee will think that there is one thing, only one thing. And what is that thing? The thing is that the Supreme Purusha, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Entity, loves his devotees very much. He can do anything and everything for his devotees, and actually he does. Devotees should always be fearless, because Paramapurusha is always ready to do anything and everything for them. If a man has got love for Paramapurusha, he will do the Paramapurusha will do the needful. The man should develop love for him. And what I said long ago before has come true and will remain true in the near future. You must remain undaunted and create a sentiment of love for Paramapurusha everywhere you go. Now you should remember that a devotee says, O Paramapurusha, you are lacking in a particular object. What is that object? You boys and girls, can you say? There is one thing wanting in Paramapurusha. That is, he loves his devotees very much, and I am an ordinary devotee, and you have got so many big devotees, and you love your big devotees very much. You love your devotees very much means the devotees have taken away your mind, have stolen your mind. So there is only one thing wanting in you, and that thing is mind. Your mind has been taken away by your devotees. Then, O Paramapurusha, then there is a want in you. And what is that want? Your mind has been taken away by your devotees, by your big devotees. And I am an ordinary devotee. I can do one thing. I offer my mind to you. Please accept it. This is the concluding factor for a devotee. So the best devotees say, O Supreme Entity, there is one want in you, want of mind. Because you love your devotees very much, and that is why the devotees have taken away your mind. But you needn't be in that wanting condition. Fulfill your entire existence and your thirst of love for your entire creation by one thing, by accepting my mind. I am offering it to you, and I want that my mind should satisfy your demands. This is the spirit of Pranipata, Pranipatena, and Pariprashna Sevaya. These are the three guiding factors for spiritual aspirants, for yogis, in all the three strata of life. And this was spoken on the 13th September 1979 in Haifa, Israel, and it was published in Ananda Vachanamritam, Part 14. So when I speak about this discourse, sometimes I make a kind of a joke. I say, well, Buddha gave eightfold path, so you have to remember eight things. And then Shiva talked about the seven secrets of success, so you have to know six or seven things there. But Krishna only has three factors. So what are his three factors? That was the subject of what Anandamurtiji or Baba was speaking about. So he spoke about seva, service. So the spiritual aspirant has to do service. This is one of the guiding features of spirituality. It's one of the characteristics of a spiritual person that they will engage in service. But the word service is not quite understood in the normal parlance, because it's used loosely in a way that's not really applicable to yoga. The service which is used in commerce, which was mentioned in the article, is like the service of the slogans of advertising that a company says, we've been in service since 1936. But they haven't been in service, they've been in business, because service means you give and you don't take anything in return. But these people have been selling cars, or they've been selling refrigerators or whatever since 1936, but they've been taking money in return. So they've been in business since 1936, not in service. So service is unilateral. And the best way to do service is to serve the whole universe in the spirit that you are serving God. So when you see a needy person, you should think that God has come in the form of that needy person, and I'm going to do whatever I can to give, and not, I don't want people to praise me tomorrow. They said, oh, he did such a great work. I don't want praise. I don't want money. I don't want name, or I don't want fame from that, but I'm just serving God. So this is the spirit of service, and it's a very important part of the spiritual march, the spiritual journey. This is, as we go further on this path, this will become part of our nature. It becomes what we want to do. So that's why Krishna said that seva is one of the fundamentals of yoga. Then the next one, pariprashna, is questioning. We should question. And we should question not for the sake of... Sometimes people ask questions just to show how smart they are, or to try to fool the person who's trying to answer it. They're showing their... It becomes like an intellectual exchange. But no, the question here, we should ask the questions for the purpose of finding out the answer, and so that we can actually practice what the person who is answering has told us. And this reminds me of an incident of my life many years ago in France. I gave a lecture, and in the lecture there were about 20 or 30 people, and they were watching. But I saw in the first row, there was someone who was really interested in learning. He's positively glowing. He looked like he was like a light bulb to me, at least from where I was standing. I thought, this person I have to meet. But what happened was that when the lecture ended, a whole bunch of people came up to me. They were asking questions, but not in the spirit. They didn't want to practice meditation. It was just an intellectual extravaganza kind of thing. So what happened was that all these people occupied my time, and I was polite, and I was talking and answering and everything. But then what happened was that they all left, and all they were gone. And also this glowing man who is really seemed like ready to learn spirituality, he was also gone. So I was almost lost. But then by providence, I in another circumstance, I met that man, and it was true that he wanted to learn. He asked me questions, and I told him the answer. And then he learned meditation there and then, and he's still practicing after, 40 years or 30 years, whatever. So this is an example of the two types of questions. Some people ask me questions just to make chit-chat, basically what it was. And one person asked a question so that he could walk on the spiritual path. So we should ask those kind of questions, which will help us to move further on the spiritual path. So this is vital. So actually, the great way of approaching spirituality is to start from the position, I know not, and then ask the questions to find out what you don't know. And then when you get the answer, put that into practice. So that's what Krishna meant by pariprashna. And then the third component is surrender, surrendering to the Supreme. Yeah, to give up the petty ego. So we have in our mind, we have the I feeling. I do. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And I explained it in one of my other discourses. But we also have the I know of I know I exist. Another I. But we have to surrender everything. Even the I know I exist. Even that unit I has to be surrendered. So the mind has to be surrendered. So here he mentioned a Sanskrit sloka which explains how a devotee approaches this kind of surrender. The devotees say that, okay, Lord, you are the creator of this whole universe. Even the cosmic forces, the prakriti, the cosmic energy, nature, is at your command. And it could create the jewels or wealth or anything. So you have everything. So what can a devotee like me offer? And I'm not a big shot devotee, and that's what he's saying here. I'm just a little devotee. So then the reasoning of the devotee is that because so many other devotees are there, then they have stolen away even the mind of the Lord. Like the Lord is thinking of them, of these big devotees. So then the little devotee says, I offer you my mind. So we have to offer everything to the Supreme. And that's what it means, actually, to we have to merge in the Supreme. Merge in the Supreme means that you're going to leave everything behind. Everything. Your diplomas and your distinctions, your so many accomplishments, everything. And even the mind gets merged. That's what samadhi is. The mind is merged in the Supreme. So we have to stop thinking of our own petty self. And that's what meditation is all about. As we learn how to meditate, we withdraw from the world, we withdraw from the body, we withdraw from the thoughts that are in our mind. And then with the help of our meditation process, we go for merger. And in this merger, then we offer everything because we want to become one. If you want to remain separate, then don't keep your shoes on. Don't take your shoes off when you do meditation. You have to stay where you are because you need your shoes to walk, in the snow or whatever. But when you want to merge, then you offer everything. So this is the final step of the surrender to the Supreme. It's merger. But you don't lose anything, because when you merge in the Supreme, you become Supreme and you get all. So this is the spiritual path, and this is what Krishna said. This is what his advice was, and this is taken from the Bhagavad Gita, and it's original. This is compiled in Anandamurti's book, Discourses on Krishna and Gita. So this is one of the important teachings that Krishna gave on the battlefield 3,500 years ago, and we should remember it today. So that's all I wanted to say about this passage, and I just hope that you will listen to it and put it into practice, and I hope that also that you will come back again and listen to more of our podcasts. So all I have to say now is namaskar, which means I salute you with all the divine charms of my mind and all the love and cordiality of my heart.